Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, the one who is beyond our wildest expectations. Amen. Have any of you ever been in a procession? It's kind of a trick question. You all just were, right? But I bet most of you have been in another kind of a procession, maybe a parade marching up and down a street, or maybe part of a procession for a cause, a march against injustice, or an event to bring awareness to a problem. I bet most of us have been bystanders, standing along the street when a parade or a procession has gone by, maybe trying to locate a loved one or a friend marching in the parade, or maybe looking to see who's passing candy so you can run and grab some. Maybe there is singing or chanting or cheering that we might join in despite initially feeling self-conscious. But isn't a procession kind of a unique setting? One finds themselves feeling camaraderie with complete strangers. The public nature of a procession feels a little bit, or maybe a lot, exciting, even elevating one's sense of perceived authority and justification for being out there with like-minded people. I always wonder every year, as I listen to Palm Sunday procession stories, what it must have felt like to be one of those bystanders in that crowd. Who were they? Were they family members or friends of people Jesus had healed? Did they live in the area, or had they been following Jesus for quite a while? Were they pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for Passover? And why were they there in that particular procession? Were they people who had heard of Jesus and wanted to see him in person? Were they skeptics? Were they hopefuls? Disciples? Curious children? Or had they noticed a gathering crowd and so they went to see what was going on and got caught up in the excitement? What were their expectations? Who did they expect Jesus to be for them? A new king headed to conquer the Roman Empire and bring liberation to the people? One who would deliver them from religious and political oppression? What was their expectation of the pronounced King of David who was heading toward the temple on a colt? Many of you know last week, 2 weeks ago, I returned to Guatemala, and it had been 9 months since I had been there. And so one of the goals I had for the trip was to meet with our elementary school graduates and see how they were doing in middle school and in life in general. Glenda, the director of Hope Academy, Suri, the school counselor, and I met those 9 graduates at the orphanage, and we walked in our own procession of sorts through the dirt pathways of the village of Aguacate, winding up and down, talking and laughing, excited to see each other again. Our gaggle of girls arrived at a vacant space that one of the families of our girls said we could use for the morning. And as we entered this space, I noticed that our cheerful chattiness quickly changed over to silence and pensiveness. What followed was an inquiry, an assessment, and a commitment. The inquiry, we asked the girls how middle school was going. The answer, pretty rough. Middle school was not at all what they expected it would be. They were used to small class sizes at Hope Academy and now are experiencing class sizes of 50, shared desks or no desks, and no ability to pull a teacher aside for help. Had the girls been completing their assignments? No. Why not? Sometimes they didn't have the school supplies needed for the task, and sometimes because they didn't have the motivation. They were disinterested or distracted. Two of our girls had become pregnant and had babies. Motherhood was difficult, and continuing school while having a baby was not what they expected. They lamented, life is hard and lonely, and they lacked support. The assessment. Each girl was asked to list on a piece of paper three goals they had for themselves this year and what they needed to do to reach those goals. Then we asked what their goals were for the future. Some of their goals: to understand all of the material in all of their classes, to turn in homework, to do well on exams, to have good behavior, to work toward a professional degree, to be in good health, to build their own house, to be a chef and have their own restaurant. The commitment. This was the hard one. Did they believe that they could do it? Did they see themselves reaching their goals? Did they imagine themselves in those dreamed for futures? And would they do what was needed to get there? I told them a little bit about teacher and civil rights activist Dolores Huerta. I told them about her saying, "Sí, se puede," yes, it's possible. And we chanted that together as we exited that sacred space and processed back toward their houses and lives. Our procession ended with embraces, with te quiero muchos, I love yous, with expectations. In 2 weeks, their first marking period grades come out, and the expectation is that their work will be turned in and that they achieve at least a 70% in all their classes. We will see if their commitment in the moment, as we gather together, cascades into their future. In Mark's gospel, Jesus' procession also ends with expectations. People are shouting, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us now." Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. The inquiry was made, who is Jesus? A man from Nazareth? Who is he really? The current assessment and expectation, Jesus is the Lord, the king that was promised, the anointed one who is coming to conquer, to overthrow the Roman Empire, the champion who will bring military deliverance. After all, he's performed miracles, outsmarted the highest religious authorities, and here he is processing right into Jerusalem to finish what he started. But what comes next is not at all expected. What was expected of such a victorious hero was to end the procession with a ritual of thanksgiving offered at the temple. Instead, Jesus arrives at the temple, looks around at everything, and leaves with the 12. He doesn't give an offering, he doesn't perform a ritual, he looks around and he leaves. The Gospel of Mark's abrupt ending to this procession alludes to Jesus being a different kind of king. God indeed is bringing about a new kingdom, but it is one unlike what anyone can imagine, one where liberation takes the form of Jesus emptying himself on a cross, one where humility leads to exaltation, one where death leads to eternal life. Who do you and I expect Jesus to be for us? And who does Jesus expect us to be for the world? Beloved Christ the King community, this is the week. This is the week where we remember Jesus' commitment to us. This is the week where Jesus spends his last meal with his dearest friends. This is the week where Jesus' disciples betray, deny, and dissociate themselves from him. This is the week where Jesus will be stripped naked, be beaten, and be nailed to a cross. This is the week where Jesus experiences death, confronts death, and defeats death. This is the week where the tomb lays empty. This is the week where the unexpected return of the King is witnessed. This is the week. Beloved ones, what might happen to our discipleship commitment if you and I show up this week to be fully present at the Last Supper, at the foot washing, at the betrayal, at the crucifixion, at the empty tomb, and finally, face to face with the resurrected Jesus, who we may not even recognize at first glance? These events are the foundation of our faith, the motivation for our commitment as disciples of Jesus. This is the week, and the week starts now. Let it be so. Amen.